Welcome back to the Peaceful Home Podcast. My name is Pam and I am your host. And today we are talking emotions, but we're really talking about how to emote and how to encourage your kids to emote. This is really important stuff because when we don't experience our emotions, when we stuff them, when we limit our ability to feel, when we numb, the body takes the toll. And we have a saying in this house, when you don't feel, you can't heal. And when you can't heal, you get cancer. My daughter's 14 years old and we have a long family history on both sides of cancer. And so we talk about what are the risk factors. And one of those risk factors is numbing. It's not feeling. It's stuffing emotions. And so we'll talk about that a little bit today. And we'll talk all about how to encourage your kids to feel, even if they've already learned how to numb. So let's get to it. Welcome to the Peaceful Home Podcast. I'm your host, Pam Godboys, founder of the Align Moms membership and coaching program, coffee lover, mama of a teenage daughter, therapist, life and parenting coach, teacher, and mentor of other badass moms who aren't afraid to lean in and get their hands dirty. I'm on a mission to redefine how you view yourself, how you view parenting, and most importantly, to help you rethink your destructive patterns, your past relationships, and your inner critic, all of which are standing in the way of your peaceful life. In this podcast, we believe that you are perfect as you are, and our focus is on helping you grow your view through shadow work, spirituality, emotional regulation, manifestation, grounding, exploring the mask and the femme, and so much more. We laugh and we cry, and we gain a better understanding of ourselves through the lens of our kids. Welcome to Parenting Redefined. Welcome to the Peaceful Home Podcast. At 14 years old, Marley has already lost some significant people in her life. When she was 7, my best friend from college, who had been a part of Marley's life for her entire life, passed away after a 10-year battle with cancer. And when Krista died, Marley was sad, but she didn't express the emotion the way that adults express emotion, especially with grief. Grief is one of those funny ones. And she didn't come to the services with us. I didn't take her to the celebration of life because she was 7 and I didn't feel like that was the thing that I needed to do at that time. And then when my dad passed away, Marley was 10. And my dad and Marley were pretty close, but for Marley's entire life, my dad had been pretty sick. She was the kid that was there with me taking care of him when she was in kindergarten, right? This has been as far back as she remembered, Grandpa had been sick. So when he died in December of 2019, Marley felt sad again. I think she cried a little bit, but it wasn't the same level of emotion that I normally see from her. She's a pretty emotional kid and she emotes pretty well. And she has this running joke that usually she cries about things like food dropping on the floor or something that is seemingly ridiculous, but has a big impact on her. And other things she just holds stoically. So this past week, we buried a dear friend of mine. And Mattie and I had been friends since 6th grade. We were figure skaters together. She was a light. She was hilarious. And she struggled. She's somebody that struggled for her entire life with anxiety and depression. And she had a battle with alcohol. And she's an amazing human being who was getting it right. She was working on doing the things. And her body apparently decided no more. So Marley came to these services with me because this lovely friend of mine also has a 7-year-old daughter who Marley knew was going to be there. And she was like, I need to be there for her. And I said, okay. And what I witnessed was a 7-year-old who went through the same process of trying to understand what was going on. And this is when I realized that what was actually happening was she didn't get the permanency of what was happening, of what was going on, what this service was all about. She knew her mom had died, but she didn't understand all the components of it. And as I sat next to Marley, I went up and gave a speech, shared some stories, and came and sat back down, and she was crying. And I was like, hey, and I held her, and like, she sobbed. And one thing that I did differently this time than I've ever done before is instead of saying, you're okay, or it's okay, it's going to be okay, what I said to her was, yeah, cry. Keep crying. Keep crying until you're done. And she did. This is what we have to do with emotions, guys. It's not enough to say. You have to feel. Feelings are good. And let's be honest, for most of us, we don't feel that way. This is what we need to start doing with emotions. This is how we need to encourage our kids to feel. As a therapist for over 2 decades, one of the things that I did often with children and adolescents is I allowed them to get to a space where they could feel, and I encouraged them to continue to feel. Now, they're not going to feel that way forever. And this is our fear, right? It's like the same fear of your 5-year-old wants to sleep in your bed at night. So you think, oh my God, when they're 25, they're going to still want to sleep in my bed, which realistically we know is not the case. But we say things like, I have to get them to sleep in their own bed. And we believe, there's a subconscious belief that if our child loses control or if we lose control with emotions, meaning we allow ourselves to just feel and it gets big and overwhelming and lots of emotions come out, that it's never going to stop. And grief can feel that way, right? Pain can feel that way. But here's the really cool thing about emotions. If you imagine a container, like a glass or a vase, and you think of this as existing inside your body, when your nervous system feels, when you have an experience, and remember our last episode, I talked about our thoughts. So your thoughts happen, an event happens, you have thoughts, and then an emotion arises. Those emotions get poured into this vase or this cup. And the idea is like when you stick a vase or a glass underneath the faucet and you turn the faucet on, you let it pour in. What starts to happen is the container fills and then the water starts to pour out of it. Our emotions are like that as well. But when we try to stop the influx of emotion, meaning we stuff it, we tell ourselves we're not allowed to feel, feelings bad, hold it together in this situation. I don't want to cry here. I don't want people to see me cry. Then we just fill our emotions into this container. And then we leave them there. And then we move on with life and we pretend like they don't exist, like they're not there. But they are. And they're always impacting us. Always impacting us. You know those moments where like somebody does or says something, or you're watching a commercial or you're watching a movie and all of a sudden you're crying and you're like, why am I crying? What is going on here? And I know a lot of people that will say, oh, I need to watch like a sad movie or something and then I can just allow myself to emote. And that's because your logical brain is saying to you, hey, there's a good reason here. This thing that you're watching is sad. But there's also a good reason when you experience things in your life, you have a right to feel. And when you keep those feelings stuffed away in that glass or in that vase, it only builds and builds in the body. And it starts to leach into the tissue of the body. So start to have pain and discomfort. That pain and discomfort is something that we call acute inflammation, short-term, based on an event or an incident. And then what starts to happen from there when emotions aren't processed, meaning felt. So when we talk about processing emotions, we're talking about feeling emotions. When we talk about clearing and healing emotions, we're talking about feeling emotions. If you've ever done anything like EFT tapping, one of the things that is required for clearing out the emotional state that you've experienced based on the work that you're doing is to feel into the emotion. And when you feel into the emotion, you feel it in your body, you know what it feels like emotionally, you clear it out through tapping, and then there's actually a relief. But what we tend to do is as emotions build, as that container inside of us gets filled with emotions and they start to get near the top of the vase, they're getting near the top of that container and they're ready to bubble over, which is when we emote, when we cry, when we scream, when we have a meltdown, whatever other ways in which we emote. This is the time frame when we start to stuff. I don't want to feel this. This isn't the time or place. Have you ever had that experience where maybe you want to cry at work? Maybe you want to cry with a significant other. Maybe you're on a date or you're with somebody that isn't really treating you well and they say something to you and it makes you want to cry or feel big. And instead, you numb. You use humor, you stuff it down, you pretend it's not there. This is restricting your emotions. And if you think of emotions like a wave, so the energy of the wave builds, that's the emotions building, that's the container filling. And then as it gets to the top, you start to see the white on the wave. So if you're surfing, that's when you catch the wave and start coming in with it, right? So the emotions start kind of to spill over the top a little bit. Now, the emotion recedes when the wave crashes. So we go through this big buildup period and all this energy, and then it just crashes and we feel relief. You know this if you've ever watched a sad movie or done whatever to allow yourself to just feel. And I hear people say all the time, I just needed a good cry. The reason you needed a good cry is because you don't allow yourself to feel when you're feeling. And we cannot teach this to our children. It is damaging. And I know I said in the intro, I said, one of the things we talk about is cancer arising when you don't process your emotions and you hang on to them. And this is that whole journey of cancer is not the only disease, but acute inflammation to chronic inflammation, right? I keep stuffing the emotions. I keep not allowing myself to feel. Chronic inflammation occurs. I have more and more pain. More and more issues arise. And then what happens from that state of chronic inflammation, which is our chronic stress response, what happens is disease. And cancer is one of those diseases. So are things like diabetes, autoimmune diseases, heart issues, lung issues, right? Pulmonary, cardiac, kidney, liver, right? Any organs in the body. One system in the body that is hugely impacted by emotions is the entirety of your digestive system, any part of it. So this could be heartburn. This could be food allergies. This could be something like celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disease, food-related autoimmune disease is the result of celiac, right? It could also be things like diverticulitis and IBS and Crohn's disease. These are all illnesses that arise as a result of chronic stress, chronic inflammation in the body. Now, this is just how the entire system works. And if you're like, I have all of these illnesses, I have all of these diseases going on, then chances are you've stuffed a lot in your life. But we know better, so we need to do better for our kids. So how do you, one, yourself, allow yourself to feel now, regardless of what's gone on in the past? And two, how do you help your kids feel now? First and foremost, you have to understand what you're experiencing as emotions. You need to know what you're feeling and what's arising and how it shows up in your body and what that feels like. One of the ways that we do this is using an emotional wheel, something where you have the list of emotions that you can point to when you're feeling something. This is for us and for our kids. The better they understand what feelings they're feeling, the easier it will be for them to be okay with it. Because the issue is not about feeling. The issue is stuffing the feelings. Because what happened for us as kids was we were told to brush it off, suck it up, we're okay, get back on the bike, stop feeling that thing, carry on. And if you're doing that to your kids, you're teaching them how to create chronic inflammation in their bodies. That's what you're teaching them. You're not teaching them how to survive in a system that maybe doesn't approve of them crying in the middle of a classroom. You're teaching them that their emotions are something to be ashamed of, and that as a result of that shame, they are going to develop chronic inflammation. And remember, chronic inflammation leads to disease. So if that's what you want for your kids, cool. Keep telling them to brush it off and suck it up and stop crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. And are you bleeding? No, then you're fine. Stop telling them that. Stop telling them their emotions are too big. Stop telling them that they don't have a right to feel the way they feel. Stop dismissing their emotions. Stop invalidating their emotions. Stop telling them that your emotions are bigger than theirs. Yes, there are parents that do this. You have to start by validating the way that they're feeling. And this means when you have an adolescent that is feeling pressured and stressed about getting out of the house and they snap at you, you have to create space for that. When your toddler throws themselves on the ground crying, that is not about you. That is about the feelings they're experiencing. So using the process of positive affirmations, you can start with yourself by just saying, I'm allowed to feel the way I feel. I'm allowed to feel the way I feel. My feelings are not wrong. And then even creating a space for you to feel on a daily basis. Think about it as cleaning off your car after the pollen season or during the pollen season, right? That's where we are right now, where I live. My navy blue car has been green for weeks on end. because we've had no rain. And so every so often you pull out the hose and you rinse it off because you're like, dude, I cannot have my car be that green anymore. I cannot suck in that amount of pollen, which, by the way, I'm allergic to. I can't do it. If you imagine that your emotions are like that, right? That your emotions are like the coating of pollen on your car. And every so often you just need a good cleaning out. Schedule that in for yourself. Give yourself the opportunity to feel. And yes, I get it. Sometimes it's easier to watch a movie and allow the sadness of that event to allow you to feel. But what's going to be more effective for you in the long term is if you sit down with a journal or a piece of paper. You don't have to even journal. You can just write it down and start listing the emotions you've been experiencing and then just feel into them. Ask yourself, when's the last time I felt that? What does that feel like? Think about the things that have created that emotion for you. So maybe it's sadness. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's anger. Allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to get in touch with the thoughts that fuel that emotion so that you can feel it. And then allow yourself to emote from that place. That might be crying. That might be screaming, right? Maybe going for a run through the woods and just allowing it to sweat out of your system. But what's really important is that you're not doing that as a means of numbing and not feeling. You're doing it as an opportunity to feel. And if you grew up in an environment where crying was really, really not okay, like you have a trauma of response around crying, a really great place to allow yourself to cry is in the shower. Now, why do I say this? Because the tears running down your face loop in with the water running over your body, right? It's running over your head anyway. It's a great, safe place to start. And then you can expand from there. You can allow yourself to cry in your room with the door closed. You can allow yourself to cry in your room with the door open. You can allow yourself to cry at the kitchen table. You can allow yourself to cry with other people around. There's a process that has to happen. So that's the undoing, right? The all the stories that are in place, you've got to undo those stories in order to heal. For your kids, you need to encourage them to feel, which means you don't say things like, stop feeling that way, don't act that way, don't react that way. You don't tell them what is the right way or the wrong way to feel or experience emotion. You ask them, what's going on? How are you feeling? Are you feeling any emotions right now? And if they're not, if they're just not used to it, it's okay. You don't have to make them feel in the moment. What you want to do is you want to start creating a container, a space in which they can feel. And so you let them know, hey, I just need you to understand that when emotions show up, when you do feel, it's okay to feel them. It's okay to release them. It's okay to cry. It's okay to scream. It's okay to throw yourself on the floor. It's okay. You're allowed to. And it doesn't matter if they scrape their knee or if they're sitting at a funeral service with you and emotions arise. It is your job as their mother to create the space for them to feel. And you do that by simply saying, yeah, keep feeling. Keep crying. Go ahead, keep going. Keep feeling that way. Get it out. Get it out. It's better out than in, right? Get them to clear it out. This is not going to create a kid that's having meltdowns all over the place. This is going to create a kid that has the ability to regulate their emotions really, really effectively. Because the reason we can't regulate our emotions, ready for this one, is because we've filled up the damn vase or container that lives inside of us with emotions from 25 years ago. We don't even understand how to process them. Because some of them, we don't even necessarily remember. We just know that this container is all gunked up with old emotions that we were not allowed to feel. And so as a result, we keep trying to pour in and it keeps overflowing. And then we cry about things that seem like not a big deal. But they are a big deal. And the reason that they're a big deal is because what normally might just fill up a little centimeter or an inch or so of water of emotions in your vase has the vase overflowing over and over and over again. That's why emotions are big. It's actually the reason we have the impulse to numb and not feel is because we've numbed and not felt for so long that our container is full up. Which is why when we do this deep work, when you sit with me and other moms in the membership that I offer, or you sit with me one-on-one, and we clear out the emotions that you're experiencing, we dig into that vase, and we look at what are the thoughts, the fears that are rooted in those emotions. This is the work, my friends. And if you can start teaching your kids now to feel, don't comment on them being overly emotional, having big emotions. Recognize that their emotions are trying to tell them something, and by extension, trying to tell you something. So after they've felt, see if they want to talk about it. See if they want to tell you what's going on. What do they need? What are they experiencing? This is how we teach them the process, right? An event happens, a thought associated with that event arises, we experience emotions. Emotions get big. We allow ourselves to feel them, right? So let's just use crying for an example. We allow ourselves to feel them. We cry. On the other end of that, instead of having a behavior like yelling at someone or snapping at someone or getting in a fight, we have a behavior like sitting quietly and allowing ourselves to calm, allowing ourselves to settle and ground. That's what emotional regulation is. It's the ability to see our emotions for what they truly are, information. And it's so imperative that we do this with our children. I remember years ago, I had in the backseat of my car one of my daughter's friends and her younger sister, who was a couple of years younger than her. We were, I think, going to Marley's birthday party. And for some reason, I don't remember the reason, the younger sister started crying in the back of the car. And her older sister said to her, "Hey, remember what Dad says about crying? Don't." And it's totally fine. If that's what Dad says about crying and that's their story, great. But I looked in my rearview mirror and I looked at this kid who was sobbing. And I said, "Hey, you're allowed to feel any emotions that you want when you're with me. And I'm cool with crying. If crying is how you're feeling right now in the moment, do it. I'm okay with it. You don't have to stop yourself because that's what you have to do at home. You can always come to my house and cry." And she cried a little bit more and she, okay. From that day forward, still when I see this kid, which is not very often, but still when I see her, she's so excited to see me. She wants to come give me a hug. There's all sorts of interaction. She tells me all the things that are going on in her day. And it's because of that moment. It's because of that experience where I was like, yeah, feel, totally feel. Because before this time, she knew me as Marley's mom, her sister's friend's mom. But she didn't really know me beyond that. I'm definitely that person. I'm definitely that person. If you send your kids to my house and they stub their toe, I'm going to tell them to cry. I'm going to tell them to feel it. We'll all do it together. We'll put together a production if that's what needs to happen. Because I recognize the negative impact that stuffing emotions has. And if you're sending your kid to my house, I don't actually give a shit what you're doing with them at home. I'm going to do with them at my house what I do with my own kid. And if you don't like that, then don't send your kid to my house. That's the bottom line. You're allowed to be you at my house. That's just the way that it goes. You're allowed to be you at my house. And I will tell you, it's why all the kids come to my house. So take it for what it is. Okay, guys. And that's all we have for today. As this episode is coming to an end, I would love it if you would just take a moment and go back to where the show notes are. Scroll all the way to the bottom and there's a space for you to write a review. Write a review. Please, please, please. That helps me share the podcast with other people. It's just the way it works. So thank you so much, guys. If there are things that you want to talk to me about that are happening in this episode, feel free to send me a DM or message me in the podcast post at Pam Godboy's Coaching on Instagram. You can also find me on other platforms, and those are linked up in the show notes as well. Okay, thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you guys next week. Take care. Oh, one more thing. It's the legal language. This podcast is presented solely for educational and entertainment purposes, and it is not intended as a substitute for advice from a physician, a professional coach, a therapist, or any other qualified medical or mental health professionals. Thanks, guys. One of the most effective things that you can do as a mom is you can learn to regulate your nervous system. Now, you might be thinking, Pam, how do I regulate my nervous system? Well, there's lots of different strategies, but one really great way to start to wire the brain for relaxation, for calm, for more peace, is to up your gratitude game. And that is exactly why I created a free email series just for you. The Ultimate Guide to a Grateful Life is 15 essential practices and prompts to cultivate a brain wired for gratitude, which will create for you a more abundant and a happier life and you. And all it takes is just a couple minutes a day. These are strategies that are proven to wire the brain towards rest and digest. And that is the side of the brain, the parasympathetic nervous system, that we want to be more active. This is where emotional regulation comes from. So grab your copy today by going to pamgodboys.com/gratitude and start wiring your brain for a happier, healthier life.